Did you know we've moved?
Move it. I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, 80s Retrospective, Part 3. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get into the panel this week for our 80s retrospective, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. Send us an email, oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmoviesdotnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got a bit old school, as it were. On episode one, we had these two panelists as well. We got D-Ren and Kebo Trek. What's up, guys?
Hey!
D-Ren, haven't seen you in a while. What's going on, man? What's new?
Well, I'm actually in class Tuesday night, so it's kind of hard for me to record the podcast. So, yeah, just trying to get in some retrospectives. That's about it. School, and then that's it.
All right. Let's get into our first movie for this week. It's one of my favorites, actually. Beverly Hills Cop.
Eddie Murphy is a Detroit cop. On vacation in Beverly Hills.
I just got off the phone with Inspector Todd in Detroit. He says if you're out here investigating the Tandino murder, you needn't bother coming back. I don't want to take it
anymore. For a man who claims to be on vacation, you look a lot like you're on a stakeout.
Stakeout? No, no. I'm picnicking. This is like a picnic area.
I have to ask you some questions about Michael Tandino.
I've never been to a cell that had a phone in it.
Can I stay for a while? Because I ordered some pizza.
We have six witnesses that say you broke in and started tearing up the place, then jumped out the window.
May I help you?
Yeah. I'm looking for Victor Meadland.
I have nothing to say to you.
How you doing? You guys don't know nothing about nothing, do you? You just got your badges and your guns and you're on the job, right? Make sure we get the right drinks, because if I drink club soda, I'll throw up.
You know, this is the cleanest and nicest police car I've ever been in my life. Stays nice in my apartment.
I suspect you are the pride of your department in Detroit.
It seems painfully obvious you haven't the slightest idea who you're dealing with.
I know what y'all think I am, giving me some kind of fool. Hurry up, quicker!
Crawl back to your little stone in Detroit before you get squashed.
Again, I'll shoot you myself.
Eddie Murphy, Beverly Hills Cop.
Got that distinctive laugh in there. So starring Eddie Murphy is Axel Foley, a street smart Detroit cop who heads to Beverly Hills to solve the murder of his best friend. We got Judge Reinhold, John Ashton, Ronnie Cox, Lisa Eilbacher, who looks extremely 80s hot, by the way, in this movie. Stephen Berkoff, Jonathan Banks in supporting roles. My notes quickly on this movie. Watched this yesterday with Kebo Trek. I really, really enjoyed it. A couple things. 80s Detroit compared to today's Detroit, there's not a big difference. It's just the looks and the shirts, pretty much the only difference, but it's still a shit city back then as it is now. I can't see how they would have put anybody else in this role. I know Will was mentioning that Sylvester Stallone was originally supposed to be cast in this, and I just could not imagine this movie being any good with him. Eddie Murphy really made this role. It's pretty much his iconic role. You know, when you're looking back, I mean, apart from his stand-up comedy shows that he had on VHS or DVD or whatever, this is pretty much his cash cow. It's his franchise that he was really known for, especially during that time. Fantastic supporting cast, I can say. You got Balky from Perfect Strangers, who plays this art dealer, Serge. I really enjoyed the buddy cops, Taggart and Rosewood. They were just great together and great with Eddie Murphy as well. Yeah, just definitely a classic 80s movie. I was laughing throughout most of it. Eddie Murphy really makes this movie. And the only cheesy thing was really the Tommy guns and the 40 sound effects near the end during the gunfight. But apart from that, I could say 30-year-old movie definitely still holds up. A lot of foul language in there. So it's a lot of fun. I give it a 9. Kepo Trek, let's throw this one to you, man.
Yeah, I was surprised how much I really liked it. I guess part of the reason is I don't really remember the movie, like, before watching it yesterday. And what I do remember is not from this one, it's from the third one.
Which is by far the worst one.
Yeah, so I think, you know, I remember telling you when we were watching, I'm like, I don't think this movie's going to hold up. And yeah, I was completely wrong. The first thing that I have to say is the movie wasn't as jokey as I thought it was or would be. And I guess this again comes back to, you know, having the third movie more in mind. Like, you know, they shot someone right in the head, things like that. And so I like that it was, you know, a comedy, but it was also serious. You mentioned the...
Lisa Eilbacher?
Yeah, like when she was in that dress, it was like, holy crap. You know, yeah, you know, having the perm and all that's definitely an 80s thing, but, you know, definitely, definitely hot. While I was watching this, it made me kind of miss this Eddie Murphy. Like, you know, now we're getting...
the PG, just the same thing that happened to Chris Rock.
Yeah, that's...
Where he went corporate.
But I think it was even worse for Eddie Murphy because he went, like, really Disney. You know, Pluto. Well, yeah. I guess Pluto Nash was in Disney, but Doctor Dolittle
and stuff. When he played, forget the movies where he plays like all the characters.
Yeah, exactly.
Doctor Dolittle,
Nutty Professor.
That's it.
But yeah, so it's good seeing him in this kind of role. Like, this is the role he was made to play, and you know, I'd like to see him go back to this kind of stuff. I don't know if he can still pull it off. Maybe people would think he's just going to the well one too many times. But, you know, I'd definitely like to see him get back to that.
Do you think that he would go a little bit, not dirty, but like just a little bit edgier now that he's gone PG? Do you think he could ever go back to that more edgy kind of side of him?
The thing with that is I don't know if people would buy it now just because it's been so long that he hasn't been. And I guess it can be seen as something going back to your roots. Oh, we're getting the, you know, the iconic Eddie Murphy back. But I don't think it would hold up.
Yeah, but what about Bob Saget? It worked for him.
It worked for him, but it wasn't really, like, because he wasn't really known beforehand. So, you know, maybe, so, you know, in the comedic circle, like in the comedy scene stuff, okay. But he wasn't really well known. So for him, it wasn't like, it was going from Full House back to being himself. It wasn't, you know, being raunchy, going to Full House, being raunchy again. So I'm not
but
sure.
But he's still doing that 180. He would still technically be going from, you know, Goody Two Shoes to raunchy. And regardless if he did it before, I don't think it would be seen as fake. I think it would be widely accepted.
I don't know if it would be fake. I think it would be seen as desperate. And be like, you know, like, oh, this 55-year-old man or whatever is doing this now. I don't know if it would work.
D-Brand, what do you think about this? Do you think it would work?
Him going back? Oh, it's tough. Because, I mean, you look at someone, yeah, I was trying to think of like Bryan Cranston, but he was never really that foul person. We just knew him from Malcolm in the Middle. So he wasn't originally like foul like he is on Breaking Bad. So it's kind of tough. I mean, I know they were shooting a pilot for Beverly Hills Cop TV series where it'd be Axel Foley's son, and he was supposed to be playing the police chief. So, but nothing came out of that. So I don't know if it would work or not.
Yeah, Kev, sorry, go back to what you were saying.
No, that was mostly it. The last thing I guess I'll mention is the scene where he was thrown out at a window.
That was hilarious.
Like, he was just like point on with that. It was so funny watching him like
disturbing the peace. I got thrown out of a fucking window.
It was so much fun watching that scene. And it probably went on for about 2 or 3 minutes where he was talking about the window.
Yeah, overall, that was probably one of the greatest scenes in the movie.
I think it was my favorite scene in the movie. Just really a great movie to watch.
And great interaction with, it was Taggart and Rosewood. I thought they just, all those three together were fantastic.
Yeah, they had great chemistry. And I guess when D-Ren comments, I assume he realized who Taggart was and what he was from. Like a certain show.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't not.
Give me a hint.
It's a show starring Will Smith.
Fresh Prince?
Yeah.
Who was he?
He was the basketball coach.
Oh my God. Assumptions, you make an ass out of you and me.
Yeah, yeah. So when I saw that, I'm like, hey, it's a good Fresh Prince. Anyway, if I had to rate it on 10, I would give it 9 broken windows out of 10.
I'd give it 9 crazy laughs out of 10. D-Ran.
Yeah, I'll just add a couple of things. I actually disagree with Keplochak. I thought it was a very jokey movie. I thought that Eddie Murphy played a character. He was kind of the precursor to the verbal comedy of, you know, Vince Vaughn. So I liked that he was fast-talking. He was quick-witted. The way he was more of a street-smart policeman versus the, you know, uptight by the book Beverly Hills Cop Precinct. I love the Bronson Pinchot cameo. And also, I don't know if you noticed, Damon Wayans was in it. He was the guy near the buffet giving him the
bananas. Yeah, giving the bananas.
That was an awesome scene with the putting the bananas in a tailpipe. That was one of my favorite scenes.
It's so ridiculous, but it's funny at the same time.
Yeah, also with the broken glass scene, that was really funny. It was just like, I just got thrown out a fucking window. Besides that, I think my only negative was I thought it was a little thin on the detective work. We kind of knew the villain right away. So it was more of like a linear thing where we just, I don't know, I just felt like there wasn't much detective work. It was a little thin on that. I love his infectious laugh, or I don't know if it's a laughter or chuckles he does, you know, when you see the two people wearing these leather, bright-colored coats on the Beverly Hills, or when he sees Taggart going over the wall, he's just chuckling, like, randomly during the gunfight. So, overall, I'm going to give this movie, like you guys, 9 bananas in a tailpipe.
Budget of $15 million, box office $316 million. Wow. A lot of those 80s movies, you know, if it didn't make 4,000% on its budget, it was considered a failure. Which is ridiculous nowadays if you look at it. As long as it makes its money back, it's considered a box office success. Here's another one with a low budget, but 10 times its budget. This is from 1984. It's Revenge of the Nerds.
Star Wars, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Sound of Music. In the tradition of these great films about fighting back against the odds, 20th Century Fox presents another milestone in motion picture history. Revenge of the Nerds.
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds! Nerds!
What is a nerd?
They've been laughed at. Picked on.
There's a roommate, pal!
And put down.
I'm not kissing a nerd.
They don't have the moves. Or the muscle.
You know karate?
No.
Good.
But they've got the brains.
I know what we're going to do.
It's time for the odd to get even.
Their action tonight demands an immediate retaliation.
How many cameras do we have left?
This should do it.
Oh, here she comes.
Go up, go up.
Oh, no. Oh!
That nerd saw me naked.
Nerds!
Are all nerds as good as you?
Revenge of the Nerds. Their time has come.
I drink to that.
Starring Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards. Those two had great chemistry, by the way. Timothy Busfield who's the jock there, the main jock?
No, that's Ten McGinley.
Yeah, he was a great antagonist in this. He almost rivals, to me, Biff Tannen. You know? Biff from Back to the Future. I seen this movie, I think it was a year ago. Definitely enjoyed it. It's the story of a bunch of nerds, bunch of geeks getting together, making their own fraternity, getting crapped on by the jocks, and then doing all these competitions with the jocks and finally winning at the end of the day. and the nerd getting the girl and all this stuff. So for all us geeks and, you know, nerds or whatever, it's a cool movie to see us kind of fight back against the jocks. Very big out there stereotypes, you know, that you got your jocks, your nerds, the, I don't know. It's a fun movie. I like the fact that it was racy too. I know the other ones were a little more PG. So this was along the lines of the first kind of Beverly Hills Cop, you know, in terms of foul language and stuff. I really enjoyed it. I would give it 8 nerdy glasses out of 10. How about Trek? You go.
I'll let D-Ren go first on this one.
All right, D-Ren.
This is one of my favorite comedies of all time. That's definitely my top 3. I'm not going to put Beer Fest there. I know I have to dig up Carp as the best comedy of all time. But anyway. Yeah, I just love how crude it is. You know, we had the We've Got Bush peeping spy cam / Penny raid they did. Just so many great practical jokes. The putting the, I don't know if it was itching powder in the jock straps of the football players.
Yeah.
And yeah, we also have John Goodman in this movie as the, I don't know if he was the coach or if he was the...
Wasn't he the coach of the jocks?
He was the football coach.
Yes, okay. And it's just a great movie. It's about lovable underdogs. I mean, you have every conceivable stereotype of nerds.
Ever.
Yeah, I mean, you have a black gay man, you have a...
You got Booger, you got the Asian guy.
Takahashi, yes. You got, what's the guy's name, Worm? The guy with the glasses?
Yeah, Wormser.
Yeah, Wormser, and, you know, Lewis and Gilbert, and it's just, they had great chemistry. Love at the end when they have the competition for winning the, best fraternity on campus. I thought that was really one of their more enjoyable parts of the movie. I also loved how at the end where, I always get their names mixed up. I think it's Lewis, like, bangs Betty in the inflatable moon castle with the Darth Vader mask. I thought that was really cool. He's like, yeah, the jocks just think about football while all we nerds think about is sex. So, yeah, it's a great movie. I'm going to give this 9.5 peeping Tom cameras out of 10.
All right, Kebo Track, let's throw it to you, man.
I'm pretty much 100% with D-Ren. If I see this movie on, like, I'll watch it every time. Doesn't matter how many times I saw it.
So this definitely, you know, it's not an unwatchable 80s movie. It still holds up.
Oh, it completely holds up. Like, yeah, some of the stuff's a bit stereotypical and all that. But the core message, I think, really holds up. And it's something that'll be valid, you know. Today, it'll be valid 50 years from now. And I don't imagine ever not loving this movie. Let's see, I have a couple points here. Yeah, Betty Childs, again, she looked ridiculous in this. I might even say not even 80s hot, just hot in general. So that's always nice to see. You mentioned the main villain in this, Stan. And, I mean, Ted McGinley does it perfectly. Like, he plays that asshole to perfection. And what I really like is he really makes you root for the nerds. Which, I mean, yeah, it's very clear he's the bad guy, they're the good guy. But at the same time, they do a good job of bringing that out without being too ridiculous. So
yeah, he's a great antagonist.
Yeah, that's it. So I love that. You know, the nerd versus the jock is a classic thing. And I guess something that maybe, I wouldn't say doesn't hold up, but different now is the perception of quote-unquote nerds and geeks today versus back then. Like, you seeing back then, it was...
Yeah, it's more widely accepted now.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's a lot more accepted, whether it be stuff like Comic-Con or just things like that. Like, it's almost seen as being cool to be a nerd now. Maybe not cool, but what, like, it's really accepted. And so it's kind of interesting to see the contrast from back then when it was more of a negative thing, where now it's, you know, something that's much more positive.
Yeah, that you got to keep in mind, though, geek and nerdist are two different things.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think you're talking more on the geek line. The nerd is, but I guess at the time, nerd was a general term more than it is now.
Yeah, I mean more, I guess more geek. But it's interesting to see that, like, in 30 years, that shift where, you know, it's not really seen as a negative like it was back then. You guys mentioned the stereotypes, like, yeah, I mean, the Asian guy who's, like, saying funny things and just stuff like that, like, everything.
The gay black guy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, everything was completely stereotypical, but it didn't matter because it was fun. And I guess that kind of goes into the next point where I think the best thing to come out of this movie is, like, the core message of acceptance. Because, like, you see, like, the nerds, they accept everyone. There's all walks of life. There's gay, there's, you know, every different ethnic background. Doesn't matter if you're smart, if you're fat, if you're whatever. Like, they're all accepted. And I really like, yeah, it's just a comedy, but we're seeing all these guys come together and just, you know, they don't care how you look. They don't care, you know, what color your skin is. So I think it's a really
good message.
Yeah, exactly.
Positive message, yeah.
And I guess the last thing I'll mention is, D-Ran mentioned the ending. I always get such a kick out of watching that. But the last thing I'll mention is the when the black guys come in at the end. When there was the...
Tri-Lam.
Yeah.
Yeah, when there was that rally and you just see them like all walking in with the badass music.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's like, all right, the nerds won.
It's cool.
Yeah, so overall, I just love this movie, and I'm going to give it 9.5 nude pies on 10.
All right, let's throw it to one of my favorite kids' movies. Debatable if it holds up, but definitely great for nostalgia purposes. It's this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Our family grows. The city itself will be our playground to use as we please. Rewarding ourselves and punishing our enemies.
We've been looking for you, Miss O'Neill.
There is a new enemy, freaks of nature. Together, we will punish these creatures.
What the heck was that?
Looked like sort of a big turtle in a trench coat.
Awesome! I love being a turtle!
All right, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from 1990. Very quickly, this made a lot of money for the studios. Had a budget of $13.5 million, grossed over $200 domestically. You know, I believe the cartoon came first, but this is one of three movies. Quick notes on this, definitely a great kids' movie. The one thing that it kind of annoyed me at first was all the commercial plugs, and I actually didn't notice them till Kebo Trek pointed them out. But I think we had one for Domino's, Burger King. What else did we? There was three or four of them.
Pepsi and Mountain Dew.
Yeah, and it's crazy for the time because I didn't think there was a lot of product placement back then. So I don't know if this was, you know, on the cutting edge of that. But definitely geared towards kids, so it makes sense, and it would probably cover some or most of their budget as well. So interesting that they did that. Funny thing, at the beginning, when Michelangelo paid for his pizza, he didn't actually tip the guy. So I thought he was a bit of a dick doing that. Raphael was running around the beginning of the movie in a trench coat. Like, it's clear that he's a Ninja Turtle. He's not covering his face or anything, but apparently nobody notices the fact that there's some turtle running around in a trench coat. And speaking of Raphael, he was a total dick. Like, just more than the cartoons. Ridiculous. Like, when he was getting his ass kicked by the Foot Clan, I was actually wanting him to die at some point. Like, yeah, the turtles are just hanging out, being all cool. And Raphael's just being a dick, like, the entire movie. It is everything. He's just got this massive attitude problem for no reason. A lot of yelling in this movie. Raphael's just, like, buddy with his attitude. Just on the roof, just, like, doing jump kicks to the air and screaming. You got the chief yelling every 2 seconds. The head of the news agency's yelling at April O'Neil. It's so much yelling. April, in terms of hotness, she's okay, but she's very 80s look. That yellow trench coat. Oh, yeah, and also when Raphael gets his ass kicked there, for some reason, they just stick him in a bathtub and pour water on him, and that magically heals him for some reason. I don't know how that works. No, but still, like, if I see a turtle walking around and I, like, boot him across the room, you don't just put him in a thing of water and he's okay. That doesn't make any sense. Also, what's with the Foot Clan stealing all the electronics? Were they opening a Best Buy? Or, like, what's the point of that? I don't see how they're making them. They're just stealing TVs and stuff. And that's pretty much all I had. You know, in terms of 80s movie, it definitely doesn't hold up, but it was fun to go back in time and get that kind of nostalgic feeling of when I was a kid. And as a kid, I absolutely loved the Turtle franchise. I think I still have one of those green bandanas that they gave out when I went to see the movie back in the early 90s. So definitely nice to go back to the childhood, but I don't say it really holds up, but I will still give it 7 nunchucks out of 10 just for the nostalgic part of it. Who else wants to discuss Ninja Turtles?
To me, this movie didn't hold up at all. I did enjoy watching it, but the only reason I enjoyed watching it was because of the nostalgia factor. It wasn't like, you know, Beverly Hills Cop or Revenge of the Nerds, where I liked them because they were good movies. Like this, I had fun watching it just for nostalgia, but when I take a deeper look, there wasn't too many things I liked about it. You mentioned Raphael being angry for no reason for half the movie, and I guess, you know, it served the plot point, but I thought they did take it a little too far. One of the big things for me was the humor is very, very 80s, and I don't think it holds up at all. And I know it's their kind of thing to say Calabunga and all that.
But it's a kid's movie.
But I mean, it could still be a kid's movie and hold up, and, you know, the humor still be relevant. We'll discuss that, I guess, a bit later with Roger Rabbit. But so I was watching it, and I was like almost rolling my eyes. So I didn't.
But again, I mean, you got to take this movie for what it is.
Oh, but that's why I can get some enjoyment out of it. When I'm critiquing it just on a movie and not what it is, I really don't think anything holds up. The humor holds up. I guess the fighting does a bit, like D-Renra mentioned when we were talking on the other side of the room.
Surprisingly as well, because, okay, they got a little Star Trek. but they're in these heavy costumes and they're still doing backflips and shit. That's like, I'm impressed. From what I remember, the action wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Yeah,
it was like back in the day. I actually thought the fighting did hold up to a certain extent.
Yeah, that I will give you. I mean, it did hold up. So I like that. That scene at the beginning where the guy turns around for like 3 seconds and his whole truck gets stolen. It was like, was there like 100 guys who flew in with jetpacks and took everything out?
When they stole the old lady's TV on the balcony?
Yeah, it's like, what? I mean, and yeah, I guess I'm just nitpicking because I didn't really enjoy this movie. But like 2 minutes in, I was already like, really? Like, this isn't possible. You mentioned...
But a giant 6-foot turtle is?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's completely... But that actually kind of goes into the next point, and you mentioned it with Raphael just walking around, like
jumping
literally,
in the air
and sometimes, like, you didn't even have the trench coat. And Splinter was like, oh, you gotta be stealth, you gotta always be in the shadows, and they're just, like, walking.
And, like, 5 minutes later, yeah, I'm gonna go see a movie. It's like, what?
And they were all doing that, they're, like, just staring from the rooftop. But you know what? It's funny, when I was thinking of that, like, if that were to happen today, wouldn't you just think it's a cosplayer? Because we saw that in Toronto when we saw, like, the cosplayer looked exactly like he did in the movie. So I guess in that way you can kind of say, oh, he's just doing cosplay. But back then, I don't think it was nearly as big.
I don't think anybody did it back in the 80s.
Yeah, so it's just like, they're just walking on the street. And the last thing I guess I'll mention is that Shredder looked like a tin can.
Yeah.
And it's like with his shiny outfit and his...
Yeah, but again, that's because of the time.
Yeah, that's it. And one thing I did like is that fight scene on the roof when, like,
he's destroying everybody.
They're not having a chance.
And then, like, he runs at Splinter like an idiot.
But how does he flip him over with, like, a nunchuck?
But even that, like, he's, like, destroying the turtles.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I'm going to run after Splinter. What? And he just acts like an idiot all of a sudden.
Yeah, it makes sense at all to me.
And I love how Casey Jones is just like a kid's movie. He just pushes the trash compactor and kills somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Like, what?
I was like, oops. Just like, he was fun. And, you know, like, I will say, yeah, Casey Jones was fun. I mean, it was more of a, I don't know if I'd say over the top part, but it was a fun part. And, you know, I did enjoy this movie for nostalgia reasons. As an actual movie, not so much. So if I had to rate it on 10, I'd give it 6 Casey Jones masks on 10.
And what's with the whole, like, it turning into the notebook halfway in? And then she's, like, doing a journal about all the different turtles and that. What the fuck is that about?
It was funny. She, like, mentioned all the, like, different turtles, but she didn't say anything about Michelangelo. Like, I don't know why I was thinking that. I'm like, where's Michelangelo's little picture? And yeah, the romance just kind of came, like, they hate each other, and 3 seconds later, he gives her a back rub and her...
But no, but it's crazy how it's like, it's action, action, action. Then it turns into like a rom-com for 20 minutes, then it goes back to action.
Yeah, yeah, and that scene with the fire was like, what?
Yeah, I didn't get that. All right, throw out the deer ends. Get your thoughts on Ninja Turtles, man.
Okay, for me, I completely disagree with Kevin on most of the points. I did have in my notes...
Who's Kevin?
Kevin O'Track. I did have in my notes, like you guys, about Raphael walking around in a trench coat and a hat, so...
Like, what the fuck, man?
And it was funny, he went to see Critters, which was another shameless plug. So, anyway.
You even catch that.
Yeah. I guess I'll start with saying I thought the turtle suits and Shredder looked really good. I was going into this movie expecting that the turtle suits would look really cheesy, but they really did a fantastic job with that. Also, again, not the turtle's lair, but the sewer set, the way they built that and reminded me of the cartoon. I was okay with Raphael's anger issues. It kind of gave him, you know, it kind of gave it a bit of conflict, you know, which the movie needed, besides the conflict with the enemies. I don't remember in the cartoon if he was more of a dick with anger issues. I think he was more sarcastic. I didn't love the April O'Neil character. I thought she was, I don't know, maybe not as bad as Julia Roberts and E. Cray Love, like you guys said, but I just thought she was way too pushy. She was annoying. She got mugged too often.
Yeah, like every 10 minutes she's getting mugged.
She was going off on Casey Jones about him telling her about her getting fired. So I found that a little weird. I just thought Casey Jones was awesome. He's always one of my favorite characters from the cartoon, and it translates.
He's from Montreal, the actor, by the way.
Is that Elias Koteas or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. What else do I have here? I really enjoyed the fact that they use disadvantaged kids who didn't have a place to fit in to commit crimes.
Yeah, to open a Best Buy.
Yeah.
It's just like stealing old TVs and like,
yeah.
All they were doing is just sticking in a warehouse.
Yeah. Well, they did pinch a few wallets there here and then, I remember.
Yeah, but what are you doing with all the electronics? I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't know why the cops didn't raid the place. You know, you'd think they would have a better way of tracking all this crime, you know. But I always remember when I was a kid, I remembered that villain's lair and I was like, oh my God, that was the place I wanted to be. I wanted to go there every day after school and hang out there.
Smoking cigarettes and playing video games.
Yeah, just I remember when Splinter was doing his monologue. I haven't seen his movie in years, and I just remember all these quotes from it. So I just love this movie.
Why is he Jamaican, by the way? He sounds Jamaican.
He's not Japanese.
No, he sounds Jamaican.
You want some roti?
Nope.
That's a bad accent.
Instead of saying mon at the end, but I don't know, he sounded Jamaican. Maybe it's just me.
Besides that, I didn't find the Splinter puppet held up. It looked kind of cheesy, especially when he was in the cage as a young rat and doing the shadowing moves.
He's doing kung fu in a cage.
And just a couple other points. Donatello and Michelangelo, I thought they had really good interplay between the characters and comedy. The choreography was the fighting was better than I expected. I was expecting it to be horrible, and it was actually pretty good for what it was. I remember those suits being apparently bulky. And just my last thing to say, I used to own the 80s cassette tape of the soundtrack, and I remember it being purple, like a light purple. And I just thought the soundtrack was 80s amazing. Just every song on that, you know, 9.95, Turtles, I don't remember the song, but even the music at the beginning, it just brought me back. So I'm going to give this movie 8 shameless domino plugs out of 10.
One thing maybe we can quickly discuss, how do you think the new movie's going to, like, are they going to keep anything?
That's funny. I was just about to bring that up, too. Ah. That's cool.
Aha.
I know they're bringing April O'Neil, and I'm not crazy about it being
the same
Fox.
One?
Well, not the same one.
I know. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But Megan
She's
Fox.
She's like 50 now.
I like that in this movie they kept the van. It looked like the one from the cartoon. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to like it being CGI. I know it's the time now, but, you know, just those suits looked really good. I thought they held up, so I don't know.
It's going to be a lot of explosions because it's Michael Bay, and he's just ruined everybody's childhood already. So that's the problem. I mean, I've seen Pain and Gain, so I've seen what he can do. without the explosions and the over budget, but I think he's going to try too hard. And I think it just goes, it's like that Star Wars episode one, right? It's just the hype that it's going to be. That it's just like they can make the greatest movie and people will still say it's not as good as the originals, or it didn't do the series justice. Unfortunately, I have worse expectations for this. I think it's going to be an absolute disaster.
Do you think they should go darker? Like,
I think they should, but I think it's going away because it's a kids franchise. It's going to go more kiddie. It's going to go PG. It's going to be focused too much on kids for me to enjoy it nowadays.
But I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if that'll work because we had the, maybe 3-4 years ago, we had the cartoon movie. And I don't think it made, like, super amounts of box office.
Well, plus two. I mean, it's an old franchise, you know. And it never really got the chance to die either. There was a lot of, especially on the cartoon side, and, like, there was a lot of bringing it back too quickly, I find. And I find it hasn't been given enough time to kind of die out for people to have that wanting to see it again.
Yeah, and I think it might be one of those nostalgia movies where, like, we'll all see it out of nostalgia, but, you know, Ninja Turtles aren't popular with the young kids today. Like, there's so many other stuff out there. So I actually think it's going to be more of an older crowd, even if it is a kid's movie.
Which is why they should do
exactly.
It. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just wanted to mention, I know I haven't seen it, but there's a 35 or 45 minute movie about Casey Jones. I don't know if it's a prequel series.
Really?
Yeah. It's just titled Casey Jones. I don't know if it was this year or last year, but you should definitely check it out. I haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it one of these days, but I know there's I don't know if it's a fan movie or, but it's definitely worth checking out. I mean, just see if it holds up for anything. So
let's get into our last movie on the list. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Mommy's going to the beauty parlor, darling. But I'm leaving you with your favorite friend, Roger. He's going to take very, very good care of you. Because if he doesn't, he's going back to the science lab.
Cut, 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 cut! What the hell was wrong with that tank?
Nothing with you, baby Herman. You were great. You were perfect. You were better than perfect. This Roger, he keeps blowing his lines.
Roger.
What's this?
A tweeting bird.
Tweeting bird. Roger, read the script. Look what it says. It says rabbit gets...
I love how he throws the bird on the floor, too. It's awesome.
Clunked. The rabbit sees stars. Not birds.
Stars! Can we lose the playback, please?
You're killing me. Killing me.
For crying out loud, Roger. Why the hell many times do we have to do this damn scene? Raoul, I'll be in my trailer. Taking a nap!
Excuse me,
please,
Toots.
Please, I can give you stars. Just drop the refrigerator in my head one more time.
Roger, I kept on your head 23 times already.
I can take it. Don't worry about me.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about the refrigerator.
This is the tale of an up-and-coming movie star named Roger Rabbit and a down-and-out private detective named Eddie Valiant.
Ooga booga.
Every moment they were together. Was a new adventure in trouble.
Hide me, Eddie! Please!
It's a motion picture about friendship.
Get easy, Billy! Please, Eddie! Don't tell me I'm making a big mistake!
Love. Compassion.
Well, I'm sorry I yanked your ears.
All the time you yanked my ears?
Murder.
Marvin Acme. A rabbit cacked him last night.
Remember, you never saw me.
Sex.
I'd do anything for my husband, Mr. Valiant. Anything.
And violence.
Toons gets him every time.
You wouldn't have any idea where the rabbit might be.
Got a thing for rabbits.
The whole thing stinks like yesterday's diapers.
It's a comedy a little different from all the rest.
I'm a pig!
I'm a toon!
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
But tell me, Eddie, is that a rabbit in your pocket or are you just happy to see me?
Touchstone Pictures and Steven Spielberg present a Robert Zemeckis film.
We toons may act idiotic, but we're not stupid.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
starring Bob Hoskins, Christopher Lloyd as the antagonist, who played a great role, Charles Fleischer, Stubby Kaye, Joanna Cassidy. A couple notes on this movie. I hadn't seen it in 20 years. I watched it yesterday. I was very, very excited to get a bit of a refresher and to see if it would hold up. You know, it was Toons in real life, a murder mystery. The graphics were a bit dated, I'll definitely say that, but I enjoyed it. And, you know, for the time it was made, really impressive, to say the least. I also love, because it's set in the 40s, so they're talking about, oh, we're over budget, we're $30,000 over budget, what are we going to do? And they're arguing about, like, how he wants to charge $100 to do a job, and the guy's trying to bring him down, like, from 100 to 50, or, you know what I mean? So that was kind of funny. A lot of slapstick comedy, but it made me laugh, and this is not my usual type of comedy for me. Like, I would normally not laugh at this kind of stuff, but it was funny. Also, another funny part, and I'm sure Kebotrek's going to mention this, he jumps on the back of a SkyTrain or a bus, and he's like bobbing or begging cigarettes off seven-year-olds. Like, what are you 7 years old? What are you smoking for? Also, I'm curious how they got the licensing for all these characters, because, I mean, you've seen every cartoon character ever made in this. You had, like, Mickey, and you had Donald and Daffy Duck and the Warner's Brothers and, like, Goofy and Tweety Bird and everything was it. Everybody was in this. The one thing that really annoyed me was Roger Rabbit himself. This is, again, a few antagonists. When you want the antagonist to die throughout the entire movie, not usually a good sign. I know it was his job to annoy the PI, the guy who was trying to help him, you know, because he was framed for the murder of somebody. He was trying to help him get out of that, you know, and I guess it's his job to be goofy in a tune, but I mean, just, he was a little over the top. It was very Jar Jar Binks-ish and Star Wars. So that's one of the downsides of this movie to me. You know, you get the three-year-old baby with the potty mouth, the constant jokes about the PI guy drinking. Like you saying, was one joke something about how he should change his name to Jack Daniels and all this stuff. It was like just one after the other. And for some reason, I just found it really funny. Also, Tweety Bird, like, being charged with, could have been charged with attempted murder. Like, he starts, like, flipping off the fingers of Bob Hoskins. He's holding on for dear life. I'm like, when did Tweety turn heel and try to kill somebody? What the fuck's that all about? The ending in, they're in Toontown, because for the most of the movie, I'll say this, it's a 1940s kind of town, and the cartoons are kind of superimposed on that. But the last part of the movie is more of Bob Hoskins in a cartoon. That, to me, doesn't hold up. Also, the Jessica Rabbit drawn, it just seems it's too cartoony, it seems kind of fake. But apart from that, the comedy and the movie itself still definitely holds up. I really enjoyed it. And I'll give 8 Jessica Rabbits out of 10. Who else wants to talk about Roger Rabbit?
Go for it, D-Ren.
Okay. Yeah, this movie was a technical achievement back then. I know now we have CGI, but it was okay for me. I thought it held up. I know it seemed a little dated. Yeah, I agree with you about Roger Rabbit being, I think I wrote down, annoyingly whiny.
It was ridiculous. Like, you know, within the first 5 minutes, I'm like, just fucking kill him and end it. You know what I mean? Like,
I like the opening vignette where it was the cartoon and he was getting his ass handed to him by, with all these appliances and everything, or boiling water falling on him. So I thought that was really well done. I first thought it was a short before the movie, and I was pleasantly surprised that it was part of the movie. And just to let you know, that director was Joel Silver, who was the one yelling at Roger Rabbit, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Okay.
So I love the fact that they use the movie set in a film noir. So you have the murder of the Acme guy. You have your, you know, private eye who has issues with drinking. You have your femme fatale, Jessica Rabbit. So I thought that was really well done. I enjoyed the adult humor. Also, the plot was pretty interesting. It had to deal with, like, I think, what was the company called? Cloverleaf or Clover?
Over something,
I think it was Cloverleaf.
Yeah, so something about land purchasing and stuff like that. So I thought that was very interesting. The one drawback of the movie I found was, I found that it felt small. It just felt like the whole movie was shot in like a back lot. Like, you didn't see like much of the city. You just saw, it just felt like it was done on a Hollywood set, and it looked that way. It looked like I was going back in Universal Studios and watching the movie being filmed there. So it kind of took me out of the movie. And other than that, I know Warner Brothers and Disney. I think this is a Disney movie, so they got the rights to have all these characters, Betty Boop, and one of my favorite parts of the movie was Daffy Duck and Donald Duck with the dueling pianos and the cannons and everything.
Or just like how like Mickey's sadistic in this.
Oh yeah, they give him a faulty parachute or something like that.
Yeah, they're like Bugs and Mickey's. Oh, you're gonna die! Oh, and like what? What the fuck, man?
Well, I think everyone enjoys evil cartoons. I think, let me see.
Yeah, but Mickey turning? Like, you never saw that coming.
Yeah. Beside that, I was kind of disappointed with the Toontown. I thought it'd be a lot cooler. It just felt really... Man, again, it took me out of the movie. Overall, I guess this is... I'd probably give this a 6.5 barrels of dip. Dip was the stuff that killed the Toons.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't mention Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean...
He was great in this. He was just such an evil son of a bitch. Like, he played that role so well, I found.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I wasn't blown away by it, but yeah, he did a solid job.
All right, Kebbo Trek, let's get your thoughts on this.
I actually love this movie. The first thing I have to comment on is, and I guess D-Ren mentioned it in a way where he said, like, the movie had a very film noir kind of feel to it, but like I just absolutely love the feel of the movie. Like I love the period they were in, the melange of the cartoon and the real world, you know, the '40s. And I love the feel of it. And you know, D-Ren's right where he mentioned that it was filmed like a lot on back lots, and we didn't get this like to see a lot of the city. And I noticed that as well, but I'm willing to accept it because I figure most of their budget went to, you know, the heavy CGI. So I'm willing to say that's okay, but
yeah.
Just the feel, the look, I absolutely loved it. I think it was a brilliant idea of just, you know, melanging these different kind of genres and times. And so I really liked that. I love that it was set in the 40s and just, you know, the part with a kid smoking, you know, something like you'd never like, see.
What's today. With that?
So I love that. And
how slow was that trolley going though? Like
yeah, it was going like a mile an hour.
You could have walked there faster.
But yeah, it's, you know, I love the way that the movie was shot. And yes, it feels small, but at the same time, I'm willing to accept it because I think it was budgetary reasons due to the heavy CGI and special effects. Like you guys mentioned, it was great to see all the characters in it and. You know, even fun stuff like seeing like the shoes when they opened the crate and the shoes popped out and were just walking all around. Stuff like that. Like, I really had a good time with it. The Tweety part I was dying with.
It's like, what the fuck is going to kill him? One
taking his fingers off.
You got fucking sadistic Mickey. That blew me away.
Oh, was
you're going to die. Oh.
Hey, we have a spare. It's just a tire.
Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man, it was fun. It was, you know what? It was great to see Mickey and Bugs Bunny in a scene together.
That too, yeah. It broke so many barriers that way.
Like, because how many times, even now, I'm guessing, have we seen that? It probably hasn't been that often. So I really love that we got to see that. You mentioned the alcohol stuff. Like, I was having a riot with that. And yeah, it's a kid's movie, but holy crap, they were really pounding that alcohol humor. So, it was fun just to hear all that. And you mentioned Roger Rabbit was super annoying, and I agree. I guess he was supposed to be over the top, but after a while, his act did just get old.
Yeah, it's seriously dead.
The thing, while watching this movie, I kept thinking, like, I would love to see this kind of movie made today. Like, I love the concept of, like, cartoon characters, like, being in cartoons but having their real life and stuff like that in Toontown. Like, I would love to see this movie. Same kind of feel, same kind of era, but with today's graphics and
I'm actually surprised they haven't even discussed this because it seems like a great movie to remake today. Imagine with the graphics and the technology today how they could just improve upon it so much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't see any reason why this movie wouldn't, like, if they made it today, why it wouldn't make a crap ton of money. Like, it's,
yeah.
I think it's a great concept.
So what would you give it on 10?
I will give it, debating between an 8.5 and a 9.
Give it a 9. Sorry.
I'm going to give it 9 bottles of Jack Daniels on 10.
Very well put. All right. Should we go into overtime?
Yes.
All right. It's going overtime.
The director of Platoon. The next battle is in the greatest jungle of them all, Wall Street.
We're going down a drain, okay? The stock is plummeting.
When it hits 18, buy it all.
Something big is going down. I want you to fill out the missing picture.
Mr. Gecko, that's not exactly what I do.
Where you can trade your honor.
I can lose my license. That's inside information.
For power.
If you're not inside, you are outside. I want you with me, buddy. I'm with you, Gordon.
Trade your peace of mind.
Just the beginning, pal.
If any trouble does arise, you are on your own. The trail does stop with you.
For a piece of the action.
$100 million, buddy.
All it takes is a little inside information.
I don't care where or how you get it.
I think you owe me.
And you can trade everything you believe in.
It's yours and you can't, but you're too blind to see it.
For everything you've ever wanted.
I get a strange call from the SEC. So this is heavy, bud.
Why do you need to wreck this company? Because it's wreckable, all right?
Michael Douglas, Charlie Sheen, Daryl Hannah, Martin Sheen, and Oliver Stone film Wall Street.
This is released in 1987. The acting in this movie is so good. Michael Douglas plays such a good antagonist as Gordon Gekko. You've got Charlie Sheen, who plays great protagonist. I really enjoyed the movie. There's a couple things that don't hold up. Obviously, the technology in the film, which is, you know, because it's in the 80s, the computers and the cell phones and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it makes sense, obviously. But in terms of the story, it's just such a good, gritty story, how this guy makes his way up when just like a little tip from his dad's company, you know, gets into all this dirty insider trading and all that. You know, it, really, all the topics are very relevant today. With all the stock market problems and financial crisis and stuff. So in that term, it definitely still holds up. I will say that Daryl Hannah is very unattractive. I do not understand why they would cast her as the female lead. Because you'd figure, you know, Charlie Sheen's going to get this hot older woman. You know, you figure you get somebody who's good looking. I mean, Daryl Hannah is not, I'm sorry, she's not a looker at all. So apart from, you know, Daryl Hannah and the tech in it, it's definitely a great movie. It's a shame, you know, when they made the second Wall Street that they didn't go as kind of dark as they did in the first one, because I really enjoyed this movie. I'll give it 9 Gordon Geckos out of 10. Kebo Trek, let's throw this one to you.
I absolutely love this movie, and I actually just watched it for the first time today. And the first thing on my notes is the first thing you mentioned is the amazing acting in it.
So good.
Like, Michael Douglas was just unbelievable in it.
Do you think this is his best role?
I think that's actually my second note, where I think Gordon Gekko is his most iconic role.
Wow.
Like, now whenever I see him, I'm going to think of him as Gordon Gekko. Like, I think just he did an unbelievable job. Charlie Sheen did a fantastic job as this kind of cocky young guy who's trying to make it. So just like when you have acting like that to start off, it really sets the movie on a good foot. And just the interplay between the two of them, like, it felt real, it felt believable, and you always wanted more of it.
So I
love that interplay. I love that this was a movie, like, it was a business movie and it didn't dumb it down.
No, they didn't, and it still made it interesting.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You don't have to know anything about stocks or bonds, but you still get into it.
Yeah, and, you know, like, talking about stuff like stop gaps and all this, and they didn't dumb it down, and I think that only made the movie better. Like, you know, that's a lot of movies today fall in, and even back then, I guess, fall into that trap where they want to make it appeal to a mass audience, so they'll put it in layman terms. Here, we're getting the business straight. And it made the movie feel authentic.
It's like a Rounders, where, you know, if you're a poker enthusiast or you're a regular person, they still talk all the poker vocabulary, but they still make it interesting. It's a very rare breed of movies that can do that.
Yeah, definitely. So I love that. The ending I thought was fantastic.
It's what the second one should have been.
Exactly. Like, I guess the second one should have ended, spoiler alert, when Gordon Gekko's like, I'm back. And that's just
and he's like, fuck you, I'm taking the money.
Yeah.
See you
I'm
later.
Back. Yeah. But I like in this one that like nobody won.
Yeah, that's true.
Was his name Bud Fox? I'm drawing a blank. I think it was.
Yeah, I believe you're correct.
Like
on
Bud
that.
Fox went to jail. Gordon Gekko went to jail. Obviously, Bud Fox didn't go as long because he informed. But I like that we saw like both of them doing, you know, criminal activities, and you know, Bud not just getting off. So I like that the protagonist also had consequences to his action. Last thing I'll mention is I like the locations they use, like the stock market when they're in the craziness of the business office, Gordon Gekko's house, when Bud Fox bought his house. It's like, wow, that's a nice house. So I really think they got everything perfect in this movie.
Yeah, what would you give it out of 10?
I am going to give it 10 on 10 insider deals.
Is that the first ever 10 on 10 you've given? Mm-hmm. Apart from that crappy series there with what's her name?
You know what? It probably, I think I gave Skyfall a 9.5. So I think it could be the first 10 on 10.
There you go. 57 episodes. I actually don't know when this one's going to air. So 50 something episodes and the first 10 on 10. So this one, the D-Run, I know you watched this. I think you finished the movie 2 minutes before we started recording.
You know, I thought it wasn't, I never saw this as well. This is popping my cherry with this movie. I thought it was a very refreshing movie dealing with the, you know, financial issues and in the financial business world. So I thought it could get boring, but it didn't. And yeah, of course, the acting, Michael Douglas and Charlie Sheen. But as good as Charlie Sheen was, I just thought that Michael Douglas, like Charlie Sheen's performance was amazing, but just Michael Douglas was like kind of overtook. I don't want to say overtook, but it's just like his performance stands out.
It was just so much better.
It was the role he was born to play.
Yeah, exactly. And I love how the relationship went from like mentor protege to kind of like, I don't want to say equals, but almost on that type of term where, you know, he was actually controlling some accounts, and then it went to adversarial. So I thought that was really cool. I love that elevator scene between Charlie Sheen and Martin Sheen, where he was telling his dad, like, you know, you don't amount to anything. You just stayed where you were. Yeah. I just thought that was him being a dick and not realizing it. I just loved that scene. And he was saying, like, you know, you're embarrassing me. He's saying that to his dad. I'll just mention a few other things. I like the medium ending. When I saw the movie, I thought he wasn't going to jail. It was kind of uncertain. He might go to jail. Or was he going to jail?
The reason I mentioned that is because I think in the second one, they kind of, like, when he had his cameo, Charlie Sheen, I thought they mentioned something about him being away for a couple years.
Yeah, he did some time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just mention a few more things. I like the directing. It was Oliver Stone. I don't know if he wrote the movie as well, but I just like the part. Like, you just see, like, Michael Douglas being backlit into shadows. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Then I think one scene you see Charlie Sheen being lit in, like, this white light. So I don't know if you guys caught that.
I didn't.
No, I didn't catch that. No,
okay. I just thought that was really a good aspect of directing. So overall, I'm going to give this movie 9 Central Park bitch slaps out of 10.
What did you guys think of Daryl Hannah?
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Like, why do you not cast Pfeiffer in this?
I liked her in the role. I thought she looked okay. I guess it would go back.
But, like, you could have so much better. And in terms of 80s actresses, like, she looked like a crack whore. Like,
wait, why was she, like, the hottest one there? I mean,
that's it. It makes no sense. That, I can't, unless she, like, knew the director or something. Yeah. I can't. I don't get that.
But I like that, you know, Bud didn't get the girl either.
Yeah,
like,
he got nothing.
Like, so it wasn't just that Gordon Gekko loses, he wins. They both kind of lost.
His world came down as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It just goes to show that crime does not pay.
Oh, and I just wanted to mention, I love the fact that when he was in the office with John C. McGinley, like, Charlie Sheen was the hotshot, and the guy was saying, like, you know, it doesn't last. You know, he was talking about how going steady was the way to go, and this guy's like, yeah, I'm going fast and furious type thing, and then it just all comes down. I just love how the old guy's like right and saying, like,
you know,
I'm not gonna have a lot of money, but I'm gonna have my ethics and everything. So,
all right, would you give it on 10?
I gave it 9 Central Park bitch slaps out of 10. Oh, but yeah, we have this true. Twice. So.
Awesome. All right, let's close the show with one of my favorite parts of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the soundtrack. This is one that Kebo Trek was reciting before the movie. It didn't really make much sense until I heard it, and I'm like, okay, it's that. So for D-Ran, Kebo Trek, and Mr. Old School, thank you very much for listening, and enjoy some 80s movies.
Yes. On behalf of Shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, because they can't find the source. Raps were so good, too. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill, and on this case, hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to wait. We need help right quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tonto came pronto, when there was danger, they didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed triple power.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indy Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indy Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indy Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Knowledge. Breaking down the week's news and rumors. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.